Jimmy Butler in Miami told Giannis in Milwaukee, get the buck out of here. That's buck with a B. No need to call in the FCC. It's a massive disappointment. It's a colossal failure for the best team in the league, period. Now questions surrounding Giannis Antetokounmpo's future and the Bucks roster, it could shape the rest of the league for years to come. Will Giannis sign a Supermax extension? Could Chris Paul be traded to the Bucks? I'm your host, Michael Scotto, and joining me now on the Hoops High podcast to break down those topics and more is my colleague, Yossi Goslin, who's our younger version of Bobby Marks. He's our salary cap guru here at Hoops Hype. Yossi, I think, first of all, it was a shock for me when Milwaukee was ousted in the second round after five games. Were you as stunned as I was?
Yeah, I was very stunned. And despite it, I still think that the Bucks are the better team. I think that the Heat definitely had some matchups. And, you know, don't get me wrong, they're really impressive. I think they're going to go to the finals. They could win it all. But I just think of the Bucks that highly. I still feel that Budenholzer, despite some of his mistakes, is a top three coach. I think Giannis, he needs to just do a little better job finishing these games at the end, but he's still a superstar. Like Giannis was saying, they just got to plow through this. I think they're going to learn from their mistakes, and they just got to run it back, and they could get back into the mix, maybe finally make it to the finals.
You know, I agree with you overall. I remember talking with one general manager in the Eastern Conference for a story I wrote on Hoops Hype, and he said that, quote, I don't understand all the Bud hate. You know, they were underachieving with Jason Kidd. Bud gets there, and then they become the NBA's best team in the regular season. You know, if you also look back, they were up 2-0 on the champs last year before losing. So I definitely think they've got pieces there, like you said. I think Bud, more than ever, has to learn by now that you've got to extend your starters and play them more than 35 minutes sometimes. This is the playoffs. There's no room. You can't be waiting to do that until elimination at that point. I agree with you. I think Giannis is going to learn to shoot the three-pointer better. He has to. That's the biggest glaring weakness. That and even at the foul line, he struggled a little bit, certainly in the playoffs. If he ever gets that jump shot, he's pretty unstoppable. He has the longest stride of a Euro step I've ever seen. He's like, you know, he's like Gumby. I don't know if you've ever seen that cartoon as a kid, but he just like stretches so far. It's almost like, you know, even Michael Jordan and the Monstars on Space Jam back in the day. I think they're in good shape to improve. Like you said, they're probably going to run it back to an extent. But, you know, for me, the biggest thing right off the bat, you're going to come out, you're going to offer Giannis the Supermax. You have to. There's no reason not to at this point. When you look at that, if he doesn't take that right away, I mean, if he takes it, you're fine and dandy, and you've got him for the next few years in the prime of his career, and you don't have to sweat anything. But if he doesn't accept that Supermax contract, you know, what's going through your mind? Put yourself in John Horst's shoes. What are you doing as the GM in that instance?
Well, I think, and first from Giannis's perspective, if he doesn't take the Supermax, two things. One, if he's really interested in signing the Supermax, he wants the long-term security and wants the money, obviously. I think he would want it, but what could be holding him back could be what the salary cap is going to be. We still don't know. We don't really have much guidance. We haven't gotten any guidance from the NBA over the past, I don't know, 6-8 months. I don't know. It's been a very long time. The most recent cap projection for this coming season was 115 mil. The following was 125 mil. Now, we don't know. It could end up being the same salary cap figure for the next 2 years. If it were to be much lower, closer to what it is now, even less, then I would imagine Giannis would want to hold back on signing the Supermax just because that's a lot less money to lock down versus what he was expected to get earlier. Under the 125 mil salary cap, he was going to get around 250 mil over 5 years. if it's going to stick closer to the current 109 mil cap or even lower, then he's looking at somewhere closer to like 210, 220 mil. So that's a big difference right there. But the other thing I think that Giannis should do, in my opinion, is, you know, you look at what LeBron did over the past few years in Cleveland, signing 1+1s. I think he should take a page from the LeBron book of leverage and do the same thing, really start putting more pressure on the Bucks to put the best possible team around him. You know, and I think they've, to Horst's credit, they've done, he's done an amazing job given what he's had. You know, I think that the Bucks, they have a real, they really do have the best team, I think, going forward. But you bring up Chris Paul possibly being a trade candidate for the Bucks. A lot of people are talking about that on social media. It makes sense. It may not be something that Horst or the Bucks would might want to do under normal circumstances, just because of how high Chris Paul's salary is over the next 2 years. But if Giannis, this is Giannis's first year as an expiring contract, so now they already have pressure to possibly do these types of deals if that is something that Giannis wants. What do you think about the whole pressure thing?
I don't see Giannis as that type of guy to be forceful. I think he needs to be and he should be. But the biggest thing with him is, first of all, I think if you're John Horst, you want to know, are you not taking this extension because you don't want to be here? Are you keeping your options open? But regardless of his answer, if I'm Milwaukee, purely from a basketball standpoint and trying to win a championship, whatever he says, he's not going anywhere next year, in my opinion, because Milwaukee's never been a traditional free agency destination. It's a cold weather city, and it's not a location that's really been desired by a bunch of free agents in the past. And, you know, if you try to trade him, you're not going to get equal value back for the reigning MVP in a trade. And this is a guy that you're not going to get the value back at that point. Absolutely. So for me, it's never going to get better for the Bucks. I think you got to push all the chips into the center of the table and really go for it. My whole thing is, I like Chris Paul. I think he's a winner. Even though he hasn't made a finals, I do think he's a winning basketball player. The job he did with OKC this year, this was a team that was projected for the lottery, getting them that high of a seed in the playoffs and really pushing the Houston Rockets, I thought was an outstanding job by Chris. My thing is, he's 35 and he's going to be owed about, I think, well, we don't know fully with the projections, but I think he's owed around $85.5 million over the next two seasons. That's a lot of money for an aging guy. And, you know, as I'm sure you're going to outline, you to match those type of salaries, you're going to have to gut a lot of that roster for Milwaukee just to bring him in. It's a very short-term and short-sighted move. So that's where it kind of gets murky for me. And if Giannis ends up staying there long-term, you hurt his chances of winning further, because Chris Paul at 35, while he's still a very good player, he's certainly not in his prime anymore.
Right. You're absolutely right, the first part. You absolutely do not trade Giannis under any circumstances. Giannis is a once-in-a-generational talent. He's one of the best just currently. I think you got to ride it with the type of – when you have this type of player, you ride it with him till the very end. You try your absolute best. If you win, awesome. If you don't and he leaves, oh, well, at least you tried. And, yeah, getting Chris Paul – yeah, he's not in his prime now, but that could very well be it might not be the trade that really like elevates them to the finals just overnight. But I think that given a lot of the Bucks playmaking limitations, they could really use a guy like him, especially a second guy who could also create his own shot, because Middleton was fantastic. I feel like he's like a mini Joe Johnson, and that's a great fit next to Giannis. But imagine another guy like Chris Paul who could take some pressure off him and also create his own shot. You know, maybe it's possible that Giannis isn't exactly the type of player who should have the ball in his hands in the fourth quarter. you know, he might not be that guy. Nothing wrong with that, because he's, you know, he's doesn't mean he's not an MVP. But having a, you know, you got Middleton who could create with the ball, and then having another guy like Chris Paul who can help maximize what you could do with Giannis late in the game, that should definitely improve what they do in the fourth quarter. And as far as what the trade can be, so they wouldn't totally gut their roster. The most common framework I'm seeing talked on social media includes a combination of Eric Bledsoe. Let me get it up. Includes Eric Bledsoe, Ilyasova, assuming you guarantee his $7 million salary for next season.
I don't think he'd mind that. I don't think he's getting that on the open market.
Oh, no, he has to get it. No, well, he's already owed it. It's just if the Bucks want to cut him or not.
No, but that's what I'm saying. I know. It's non-guaranteed, but I don't think he'd be complaining, because I don't think if they didn't guarantee his option and let him become a free agent, he's not making that. I think he'd be thrilled.
Yeah, he'll definitely not make seven. So basically, to match the salaries for Chris Paul next season, you just gotta send out 80% of his 41 mil. So that's roughly 33 mil. You could get there with Bledsoe at 17 mil, Ilyasova seven, and then you could do a variation of George Hill. But I don't think they'd want to trade George Hill. I think he was awesome for them. I think they want to keep him. In that case, you can get away with Robin Lopez and DJ Wilson. So that makes the salaries match. After that, then you start talking about the incentives, whatever else OKC might want to do it. You know, maybe you got to put in DiVincenzo.
The big ragu.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if the Bucks would want to do that either. But as far on OKC side, they would love to get a lot of picks and young players. But as great as Chris Paul was this summer, his salary really pushes him from being a positive trade asset to being neutral at best. In a way, he's still kind of negative just because how expensive he is. In this type of trade that I'm talking about, the Bucks would also bring in an additional $8 million in salary just for Chris Paul, and that alone would put them over the tax. Keep in mind, the tax is probably going to stay the same, and they still got to fill out the rest of the roster. You know, you got the MLE, maybe bring back Connaughton, Sterling Brown. So the Bucks are going to have for OKC, the biggest thing they're getting is they're liquidating that salary into multiple parts that are much easier to move. You get Bledsoe, Ilyasova, Hill. It's not $41 million packed into one guy. Right. Now it's a little more distributed. They save money. That's the main thing I think they're going to be getting in any Chris Paul deal.
The biggest thing, I get that. I get that for sure, because ultimately at that point, if you're OKC, you're signaling, you're fully rebuilding, and you're going to really start to gut that roster. You would do, if you get rid of Chris Paul, Steven Adams, probably also talked about in trades, Dennis Schroeder, I would think as well. And Gallinari probably wouldn't be brought back at that point. Or maybe you try and do a sign and trade with him to get him to a certain destination, since he's going to be a free agent this summer. Also, you mentioned about the luxury tax implications and how they would be over the cap, and then you'd have to use some of the MLE, the mid-level exception, for those who aren't familiar with that term. In doing so, I thought the guys that they were able to get, the Bucks over the years, guys like Kyle Korver, Marvin Williams, older guys that were going to be promised a role, I think you can get those guys on minimum type of deals. But I don't know. I mean, if you're them, I think you need guys that are going to be able to play multiple positions. Can't just be locked into one thing. You can't just be a shooter. I think personally, what I think they need are guys that are dogs, guys that are going to do the dirty work. I don't know if they had enough of that when I looked at that roster and saw them play during the playoffs. You know, I'm not saying PJ Tucker specifically, but man, if they got a guy like that, just an absolute dog and a beast on defense in that sense, that can cover multiple positions and spread the floor, I think that'd be great for them. You talked about Chris Paul as a playmaker. They certainly need that. Giannis needs the load taken off of him, and Chris Middleton can do that, but he needs to do that at the top of the key. Can't do it on the wing as much. He seemed to excel there, at least in game four, when he had the ball in his hands and pick and rolls.
I think another word that's being used for Dog out there is like an enforcer. I mean, would that kind of be similar? Like a Mark, like a Morris type, one of the Morris twins, just like another aggressive type, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And those guys, you know, I wonder how cheap Markieff would be this summer. And certain guys, by the way, you can check all that out on our Hoopsite free agent rankings. Just want to throw that little plug out there for our guys. We've been working hard at it. We've got over 70 overall free agents listed, probably even more than that. I stopped scrolling at that point, but there's plenty of guys on there for sure. You know, if you're Milwaukee, I just think that when I look at that team, I think Lopez is the ideal five in today's NBA. He can block shots, shoot the three, and score inside as well on hooks. And he can dunk, roll the rim. A little bit limited in pick and roll defense, but you can't have everything. You can't have unicorns out there. Giannis at the four, back-to-back MVP, projected at least. You know, I know some LeBron fans may say otherwise, but that's where it was headed in our poll. Also on Hoopsite, where we interviewed a bunch of the voters. We interviewed almost 20 voters. That's not the whole list, but enough to give us a good sample size. And I think Middleton is you know, the Joe Johnson comparison, I thought that was a really good one. A guy that could play the two or three, shoot the ball, create off the dribble. Well said. Eric Bledsoe, to me, while I know he can play good defense, I thought offensively some of his shots were certainly questionable during the playoffs. And, you know, George Hill is more of a steady kind of guy. Chris Paul, I think, brings that. I thought Bledsoe was a little bit more erratic. Some of the other guys you talked about, DJ Wilson, maybe if he was on another team. I know, you know, he's a former first-round pick. He's a guy that maybe could pop somewhere else. I don't think he's going to really get that opportunity in Milwaukee, but maybe a fresh start helps him. Ilya Sova, you brought him up. I was a little surprised Milwaukee didn't play him that much. I thought that his ability to pick and pop could have helped them a little bit. He's 33. He's not by any means over the hill. And I'll tell you, ironically, Ilya Sova kills the Brooklyn Nets. Just throwing that out there. Saw plenty of times at Barclays. Kills the Nets. Don't know why, but that's his thing.
Maybe they should pick him up.
You know what? Wouldn't be a bad thing. Certainly. And Dante DiVincenzo, I love that kid. I think that kid has toughness and is a guy coming from a winning culture with the Villanova Wildcats and Jay Wright. Guy knows how to win. I personally thought he should have played a little bit more than Wes Matthews. But, you know, as we've seen, even with the Denver Nuggets and Paul Millsap, with Coach Mike Malone, veterans get the benefit of the doubt in the playoffs. Coaches trust them more. But my argument is on the flip side. You got guys like Tyler Herro who can come in and light it up. And sometimes they're not afraid of the big moment because they don't even know any better. So the trade scenario for Chris Paul that you mentioned, in terms of talent, I think you do that to get Chris Paul, certainly. It would be more of a money-saving move for OKC as well. And as you mentioned, you can easily move those guys more, breaking down different salaries, the $17 million for Bledsoe, the $7 for Ilyasova, et cetera, than Chris Paul's $41 million. You know, it's funny. You said one thing that you were like, I don't know if that puts them over the hump to get to be a championship team. My thing is, if you're the Bucks and you make that move, it has to be because you're so limited in what else you can do, and you're getting rid of a lot of your assets just to get Chris Paul. You know, you're not, as we talked about, you're limited with a mid-level exception, which we don't even know fully what that's going to be because of the salary cap. So you might have less money to work with there. I think that's a key piece to it, but they're also going to have to do kind of what the 76ers did when they had Brian Colangelo as the general manager at the time, and they got shooters like Bellinelli and Ilyasova, ironically, back then. They're going to need to be on the waiver wire, I think, post-trade deadline of next season to really fill out that roster and go all in. We saw it with Marvin Williams this year. But Chris Paul has to be the missing piece if you're going to make these moves, in my opinion. And I don't know if that's enough because, you know, if Toronto brings back Fred VanVleet, they're going to be competitive. The Boston Celtics are on the rise. They've got a bunch of talented young guys. And Gordon Hayward, I expect to come back. And I believe
the Nets.
Yeah, and the Nets, you know, you mentioned a healthy Kyrie and KD and Steve Nash, who I think is going to be more of a mediator than anything and really get those guys to click. They have a great team on paper as well. So Philadelphia, I'm not crazy about their roster construction, but, you know, anytime you have a healthy Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid, you certainly have a chance. The Pacers, who knows what they're going to do with Oladipo, but they're a tough out as well. I think the East is a little better than people give it credit for, at least in the top six. So, but if you're Milwaukee, and of course you got the Miami Heat, Jimmy Butler, who see who they add. But for the Bucks, Chris Paul has to be the checkmate move for them, and I don't know if it is ultimately.
I think I like the move. You know, he just finished year 15. I think the risk with the biggest risk with getting Chris Paul at this point is okay, half that contract is over. So you only got 2 years left, you know, it gets a little more easier to move later or to stretch later if it gets down to that. The biggest thing, I guess, is health. And, you know, in his first 2 years in Houston, and even like his whole time in with the Clippers, health was the biggest issue. He, you know, some very minor injuries here and there kept him out. That unfortunate hamstring injury versus Golden State 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. And he looked great this year. I don't think he really missed any time or any significant time. And he looked great. He was, you know, he was an all-star. He played like it. But again, he's, what is like 33, 34, you know, he is going to get a little older. When you do trade for a veteran in his mid thirties, you do take the risk okay, when will this guy start to fall off now? I don't think anyone's anticipating that. I'm not anticipating that as soon as next year, just because of how well he played this year. But like we said earlier, the most important thing to me for the Bucks, I think they're good enough. Budenholzer, I hope he learned from all his mistakes. I hope Giannis learned from this experience and will be better. And if they do, and you bring Chris Paul on top of that, I think they should go to the finals.
I think with Bud, he'll limit Chris Paul's minutes if they acquire him and keep him fresh throughout the year. Clearly, we saw that he doesn't have a problem limiting the minutes of guys, even in the playoffs. But is Chris Paul the only guy that you think could make sense for them on the trade market? Is there somebody else maybe where we're missing here that could make sense for them?
It's hard to, off the top of my head, I can't really think.
Because, like, I don't see Bradley Beal going anywhere. Washington wants to win. You know, if I look at the Pelicans, you know, maybe you can tickle their fancy and come up with a trade package for Drew Holiday. Because he is 30 and that team is really young. I don't know if he's... I think he's a great locker room guy, but I think he can be had. They also got to figure out what they're going to do with Lonzo Ball. I'm not saying Lonzo Ball is the answer for them, but I think Drew Holiday would be interesting and a guy that could play both sides of the floor. I think he'd be an upgrade over Eric Bledsoe. But again, I don't know if they have enough. If I'm John Horst, I'm really scouring the market and looking to see who I can bring in to make this team better. But obviously, you know, the hot topic right now is Chris Paul.
For a guy like Holiday, I just think Chris Paul makes the most sense just because the Bucks don't really have that much assets. You know, it's really like DiVincenzo, their pick this year, and their future picks. I don't know if they have enough to get Holiday. I think he can be had, but there's probably five other teams that could put together a better offer.
You bring up a good point. It's almost a perfect storm. Oklahoma City, not traditionally a heavy luxury tax team. You know, the Houston Rockets can thank them for James Harden. It always infuriated me that they broke up what could have been a dynasty with Harden, Westbrook, and Durant so soon. That's got to be a 30 for 30 one day. They had Serge Ibaka. The way they drafted was incredible. And I know that they continued to restock the talent, but my goodness. I mean, they had Jeff Green. They had so many guys, but I digress.
Went 3 for 3 3 years in a row on the absolute best player in those drafts. And then they blew it after. That never happens, going 3 for 3 like that.
And I got to be honest, Russell Westbrook turned out way better of a player than I ever thought that he would be. So kudos to him for that. I'll just, you know, throw that out there openly. But so if you're Giannis and you're looking at the Supermax or not, you touched on the difference of what it could be and why he could wait, maybe because of the different salary cap situation that we have looking ahead. But it is a significant amount of money. We've seen a handful of stars take the Supermax. But if I'm Giannis, I kind of agree with what you were alluding to earlier. Put the pressure on the Bucks. You got to win now for your own legacy. Even if you want to be there, changes need to be made. You keep him, Bud? Okay, cool. I can't knock him for that. But the roster has to improve. You can't lose 5 games in the second round and blow a 2-0 lead the year before to the eventual champs in the Toronto Raptors and bring the band completely back together. It doesn't work like that. It's been proven that that's not enough. And the other teams you're competing against on paper got better. So if you're Giannis, and maybe you're even eyeing 2021. I know right now it wasn't something that he said that he's looking to do. He wants to plow through ahead. But the other thing is there's a whole nother season to be played, and we don't know what could happen. You know, sometimes that pressure can cripple a franchise, knowing that a guy could leave potentially. So when you look at 2021, because we know essentially he's planning on being back next year and the Bucks aren't going to trade him. And then we talked about Chris Paul. That's how they really could improve at best. If he doesn't sign a Supermax and he's looking towards 2021, it's an open secret that Miami wants him. Toronto's been mentioned. Certainly he is a guy that they covet. Who are some other teams that you think could be in that mix? I know for me, I think it would be very cool if Dallas got in the mix with Luka and Porzingis. It would be the greatest international trio of stars. I don't know if it's really possible, but if you can break it down for us, the 2021 suitors for Giannis and how that could shape, at least as of right now.
Yeah, you mentioned the Heat and Raptors. Supposedly, they are the favorites if he were to leave. You mentioned Dallas. I love the idea of that. The other two teams I could see realistically, semi-realistically getting in the mix are the Lakers and Warriors. The Warriors are a little more complicated. I'll get to them a little later. With the Heat and Raptors, they've positioned themselves really well for the summer of 2021. In my opinion, I do feel like that free agency class has been a little overblown, just because you had guys last year like Beal and Draymond Green, CJ McCollum. They all signed extensions, and they were some of the names that highlighted that class. And then you also have guys like Kawhi and Paul George and LeBron, possibly AD if he does a one-year deal. But I don't think those guys are really expected to move, which really puts the headliners at Giannis and then maybe Oladipo. So really those two are, I would suppose, are the prizes of the 2021 class. And you've got about 5 teams that are going to be going pretty hard after Giannis. They position themselves pretty nicely. Who would you like to start with?
First of all, I want to say this. You know, I know Miami and Toronto are viewed as like front runners if he leaves Milwaukee. You know, a lot of people talked about the Knicks being a front runner for Kevin Durant and how that worked out. You know, I think a lot of time it's almost as much speculation as anything. Miami, I think on paper, yeah, you just lost to them. Sure, I could see it, but I don't think Giannis is that type of guy. I just want to throw this out there. Looking ahead towards the free agency class of 2021, I think Giannis is the type of guy who isn't here to build a super team. I think Giannis is the type of guy that wants to do it on his own and realizes, similar to Dirk Nowitzki, if he won a championship for Milwaukee, it would mean more than multiple championships with a super team. And I think that matters to him. And when we talk about, with that said, a lot can change in a year. I will openly admit that. So if you,
I want to say I absolutely agree with you too. Even though what I do involves speculating and like actually calculating how these transactions and player movement can happen, I personally do think that Giannis, I don't see him leaving. For all the same reasons you said, you know, if I had to bet on it, I would probably say, I'd for sure say that Giannis would stay, most likely.
But we do have to
talk about it.
We got to, because a lot can change in a year. And you know what? If the Bucks stumble, things change. You know, we saw it. Remember when Kyrie Irving said that he wanted to stay in Boston, and then that pendulum shifted completely the other way and he wanted to come back to his roots and play for the Nets. So anything can change in a year and even less than that. So let's look at the front runners so far. Let's look at Miami and Toronto and how they've positioned themselves financially to be a contender for Giannis in 2021.
Right. So Miami, with Miami, I think there was a lot of talk earlier about how they're going to try to get Giannis and Oladipo. I'm not too sure how realistic that is, especially if the cap isn't going to go up. If the 2021 cap was going to be at closer to $125 million, maybe. But since it's unlikely to get that high, they could still get one of those guys and they could still sign Giannis. The interesting thing about how the Heat position themselves is that they'll have a max contract slot for 2021. But they also have they'll also still be able to re-sign Bam, Duncan Robinson, and Kendrick Nunn while still having Butler and Hero on the roster. Robinson and Nunn have minimum free agent cap holds, so they can just keep their bird rights. Won't cost them anything, won't take away their max cap space. And Bam Adebayo, who I think is an unbelievable talent, the modern center of what centers are going to be over the next decade, he deserves a max contract or close to it. Unfortunately, the Heat I don't think they're going to give him the extension now, just because then they would lose, you know, that cap flexibility to sign Giannis later in 2021. But just with the way they position themselves, they can hold off on the extension, sign Giannis, then re-sign all those guys I was talking about, including Bam. So their potential of having a core that includes Giannis and Butler, and you've got Adebayo, and you have Tyler Hero, and then you still have a couple role players, Duncan Robinson and Kendrick Nunn, that's very appealing. And if you're Giannis and that's you, you know, that is being... that is a realistic possibility. That is something you definitely got to consider.
And I don't know if you've been to South Beach, but
yeah,
I work on that tan. It's a lovely place to be.
Yeah.
A little bit different weather than Milwaukee. I'm with you. Look, on paper, I think Miami would be a great fit for anybody. I was talking with our old friend, Alex Kennedy, who used to work for Hoopsite and now at basketballnews.com. And he asked me for a story for that, who I thought could build the next super team. Miami's, without a doubt in my mind, positioned well, given the reasons you said, the culture, the location, the money, and the supporting cast. So we touched on Miami. Looking at the Toronto Raptors, who in a way are looking to find that next lead guy with Kawhi Leonard. I don't think Pascal Siakam is that guy. At least he hasn't shown it so far through the playoffs to this point. They're going to have an interesting decision with Fred VanVleet. I think that Fred VanVleet is a guy who can command a Malcolm Brogdon type of contract. A couple of general managers I've spoken with and executives around the league agree with that. Time will tell what Toronto does with him. But when you look ahead to 2021 and what they can do for Giannis Antetokounmpo, what's the breakdown?
So, yeah, a little of something I forgot to mention before I said the explained the Heat situation. So I'm assuming that the $115 million cap projection that was supposed to be for this upcoming season, I'm assuming that we get something closer to that next season. So we still have no idea what it's going to be, how it's going to play out. Could be higher, could be lower. But I'm just going to assume that I'm working with around $115 million for 2021 free agency. So with that said, Toronto also they've positioned themselves really well. So they've got Siakam, who's going to be on the second year of his max contract, and they could give Van Vliet a max contract if it comes to that. If they're going to give him the full max, they could give it to him. Not bring back any of their free agents, but the only other players that they'll have on their roster, I believe, would be Norman Powell and Duane Hernandez and Matt Thomas. And they would be about $13 million-ish or so short of the max for Giannis. Now, this also includes the not giving Anunoby an extension, but they could still have that cap hold against them, so they could re-sign him afterwards. So basically, Anunoby and Powell both have the same amount counting against the cap. They would have to part ways with one of them and then maybe make another small trade, like trade their pick of this year or the next year, and then they're right there at the max. I would imagine they'd want to keep Anunoby because he's really good. What their team could look like, it could be Van Vliet, Anunoby, Siakam, and Giannis. That could be the core, which sounds like clamps defensively. And surprisingly, despite their size, could probably space the floor really well. They just need a little bit more shooting. It's a very interesting team. Just very lengthy. Could be one of the absolute best defensive teams ever. What do you think of that one?
I'm liking Miami better.
Yeah.
I like that core better. But now when we transition maybe towards Dallas with Luka and Kristaps Porzingis, now you're tickling my fancy. How can they realistically go after Giannis in 2021, or do they have to make a bunch of moves?
They don't really need to do that much, actually. Under that $125 million original projection, they don't have to do anything. But if it's going to be closer to $115 million, they just have to cut. They'd be around $8 million short. They would just have to trade one guy like a Dellen Wright or a Maxi Kleber. Or Seth Curry. I would imagine it'd be Dellen Wright. And that's really it. They have one of the most team friendly contracts, other than Porzingis' max contract. Luka Doncic is still going to be on his rookie scale contract. So yeah, if he's interested in Dallas, he can go there easily.
For me, my vantage point, I would look at Dallas then number two behind Miami.
They'd be world beaters.
A lot of times too, people talk about Golden State and they'll throw out the Lakers here and there, but really more Golden State is always the sexy, trendy name to be thrown out there. To me, it's going to be tougher. They just got Andrew Wiggins, the rest of their core, Draymond, Clay, Steph. It's a nice core, but they are slowly getting a little bit older. When you look at Golden State, what do they realistically need to do to be in position to land the Giannis in 2021 for a max deal?
So as far as all the assets they've been collecting, the picks, getting their high pick this year, getting the Wolves pick, I think it is obvious that Giannis maybe even like a Bradley Beal, or if a Sixer, one of Simmons and Embiid becomes available, like they are swinging for the fences for a player like that. And Giannis would be a wonderful fit next to Curry and Thompson, in my opinion. Now, where it is, they have one of the more difficult paths for to get Giannis, because they're not going to have cap space as long as they have Curry and Thompson and Green, and so they're not going to be able to sign him outright. So their easiest path to getting him would be a midseason trade or a trade during this offseason. And what they're probably hoping to do is trade Wiggins, whose salary alone will it basically equals Giannis's this year, and package the number two pick and the Wolves pick, and then maybe some more future picks. I don't know, maybe you got to throw in Eric Pascal, just throw in everything they've got for a trade now for Giannis. And I don't think Giannis wants to do that. I don't think he will do that. Warriors are probably hoping that Giannis does do that, because that's probably the only way they can trade for him. Now, if Giannis were to reach free agency and then decides he wants to be a Warrior, well, you got to do a sign and trade, but that is very difficult because of a couple of reasons. First, you got the BYC, base year compensation. It's a very complicated thing. I don't want to cap-splain too much, but the biggest thing is that because Giannis is getting a big raise, his max contract, the Bucks cannot take back around whatever that max contract salary is. So let's say Giannis's first year salary is $35 million. Okay, well, they can only take back $17 million in a sign-and-trade. Mm-hmm. However, the Warriors, if they're going to take in $35 million, they got to send out something equal to $35 million. So they got to get a third team involved.
Three team trade, yeah.
Yeah, they got to get a third or fourth team involved to facilitate the moving salaries. The other thing, the other obstacle for the Warriors is that when you acquire a free agent during a sign and trade, you get hard capped. And as you know, the Warriors have a very expensive team. And so if it gets to that, not only are they going to have to trade Wiggins, but they're probably also going to have to trade Draymond just to get Giannis and stay under the hard cap if they want to fit him with Steph and Klay. So ideally, I think the Warriors would love to keep Draymond, get him in the mix with Giannis as well. But, you know, if it comes to that and they got to do this sign and trade, we saw them do it for D'Angelo Russell. They'll do whatever it takes, whatever sacrifice they got to do. It's not impossible for the Warriors to get Giannis in a sign and trade. But there's just a lot of salary that needs to be moved.
I think you threw a little bit of cold water on the realistic possibilities of it for some Warriors fans, but that's the reality of the situation. I think you can even throw more cold water on the Lakers. What do you think about them?
Yeah, with the Lakers, they're also a team that might be trying to get Chris Paul this summer. I don't think they'll do that. I only think that a lot needs to happen. I think they'd have to not win the championship, and Chris Paul and LeBron would have to push for it, and then the Lakers would have to do a 5-for-1 there. But if they do that, then they put themselves out of the running for Giannis. The other thing is that right now the Lakers, if LeBron were to opt out of his salary for the 2021-22 season, their only salary that would be on the books is their draft pick that year. I mean, the draft pick this year. So they theoretically have like over $100 million in cap space, but obviously you would assume that Davis will be back with his max salary. And then if they want to get, they can get another max player in Giannis. But again, that is if LeBron opts out, he will be 36, going on 37, he would have to take a pay cut, which, I don't think that's too crazy to ask for at his age, despite what he's doing now. But if Giannis is interested and, Davis wants to get his, Davis needs his max as well, both guys are going to need their max. I would imagine LeBron would take the sacrifice to make that work. But then, that's all you've got on the roster. You can't really re-sign anybody else because you sacrificed their bird rights to sign Giannis. And so I don't know. It just seems like it's a lot for the Lakers to – I don't know. I don't know if it's I don't know how appealing the team sounds when they literally will just have minimum contracts after that.
Based on the scenarios you brought out and mentioned, I think I would look at Miami. I would look at Dallas as the real potential landing spots for Giannis in 2021. Golden State always is creative and has a chance. I'm with you. I don't think the Lakers are really that much of a fit right now. And when it comes to Toronto, I don't see it ultimately. I know some may view otherwise, but Dallas and Miami, I like those scenarios. If he decides to leave based on everything right now, I do think there's going to be a lot of action at the draft. There's going to be a lot of trades. This draft is not loaded with star power, so guys are going to be, GMs are going to be looking to move guys and draft picks. And even the free agency class this year, not overly impressive. There's only a handful of teams with cap space, significant cap space, to get things done. Atlanta is going to control the market, I think, substantially and whatnot. So time will tell on that front.
Yeah, I feel like this coming off season will be a lot closer to the 2 years ago, 2018 off season. I think LeBron was the biggest move, biggest player to move teams. Paul George stayed, and then after that, it was, you know, like mid-level exception, just a lot of trades. I think that's where most of the action will be.
Yossi, I think you hit the nail on the head. There's going to be a lot of movement this offseason, and I can't wait for it. Appreciate you coming on the pod and sharing your salary cap knowledge with us, and especially those trade scenarios for Chris Paul, and certainly what the 2021 free agent market could look like for Giannis Antetokounmpo. You can follow Yossi on Twitter at YogiMane. That's YoggiMane. I want to thank everybody for tuning into the podcast. We certainly did our best to give you a crystal ball preview of Giannis's future and the potential trade scenarios for Chris Paul. If you want to hear more episodes of the Hoops High podcast, like and subscribe to it on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and anywhere else you listen to podcasts. You can also check out my tweets on Twitter at Mike A. Scotto. Until next time, I'm your host, Michael Scotto, wishing you and yours all the best.